Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
We're talking about take it to the limit today. And first of all, we're going to have a fun time, right? That's the most important thing. It doesn't matter what we discuss. We're in a safe place. We're being nurtured and uplifted, and that's important, right? We're in a place of non-judgment. And we create that ourselves. We create that space, that bubble. So I just want to affirm that. So whatever we talk about, it's fun. It's good. It's enhancing of our being. We didn't do the Eagles song, but I am going to reflect on some of the lyrics of it. Put me on a highway. Show me a sign. Take it to the limit one more time. You know, we've all pushed it to the limit in various ways and times in our lives. Not always in the most healthy way, perhaps. You know, we pushed it. And why have we pushed it in unhealthy ways? Maybe because or in addictive ways, or whatever kind of way that hasn't been the most productive. We've done it perhaps because we feel in some sense confined, don't we? Or stultified, encircled around by habit, by our jobs, by the past, by all the things that kind of weigh us down, you know? As the Eagles wrote again, you could spend all your time making money, and you could spend all your love making time. So you're in that endless cycle and circle that goes around. And I think we've all felt this at certain times. Thank you. Just wanted to move on. Just wanted to get affirmation about that. You know, it was Thoreau that said we live lives of quiet desperation. And, of course, Pink Floyd stole that lyric for one of their songs because it's such a great, great line, isn't it? It's such a good phrase, lives of quiet desperation. It's that silent scream, the silent scream that we feel at certain times, you know. We can't let it out, really, but it's in there raging. It wants to be let out. There's got to be a way to take it to the limit in a more healthful way, right, in a more productive way. So I want to talk about how we can do that. And I want to share a personal instance in my own life of when the tapes start playing from ego that sort of trap us, and we have to use the antidote of spirit to move beyond that. You know, there's times when the little voice inside me says, Paul, you're not good enough. And, you know, I'm a kind of confident person and exude a certain sense of, you know, yeah, I can do this. But there's a little boy in there that says, you know, I'm not good enough. And I think we all have it, yes? We all have that voice that says things that are trying to keep us back down in the ground. And I have to use an antidote in the form of an affirmation then. And the affirmation that I use is, I am successful in everything that I do. Thank you, God. And I need to add the thank you, God, right? Because it's not me. I am not successful in my own right. I am successful because God gives me the energy to do what is mine to do. And I can claim this. I am successful in all that I do. Whether it's getting up in the morning, brushing my teeth, I'm successful. Whether it's accomplishing a task at work that is mine to do, I am successful. Once I choose to say I am successful, then I become successful. That's the nature of the universe. Because I want to ask a question. What's written on the sign? Put me on a highway, show me a sign. What's on the sign, folks? What's on the sign is whatever you choose to put on it. If you want to put, I'm a miserable worm, it's never going to work out, then guess what? That's the direction you're moving in, right? If I want to label myself, I'm not going to succeed, I'm not good enough, then that's my sign. What's your sign, man? My sign is I'm not good enough. You know, we used to ask ourselves, what's your sign and all that. Oh, forget about it. It's the old pickup line, you know. What's your sign? I'm not good enough. And if you say that, you're probably not going to have a successful relationship with that person. But if you say I'm successful in all I do, you're probably not going to have a good relationship with that person either, because they're going to say, oh my God, this guy's too arrogant. But when you know it deep in your heart, I am successful in all I do, thank you, God, then you're impelled forward. See, it's unity's second principle, folks, and it's enshrined in the affirmation that's on the bulletin. The second principle basically says the Christ is in us. The divine is in us. We partake of, and we are part and parcel of God, right? And so if that's true, then I am successful because I am of God. And when I let God flow through me, I could do amazing things. Let's get to the affirmation. Take a look in your bulletins. It says, the universe celebrates itself through me. I'm going to read this first, and then we can take it together. This is a powerful affirmation, sure. The universe doesn't just sort of ho-hum itself through me. It celebrates itself through me. The universe celebrates itself through me. I am its instrument of expression. It sings itself into my soul. Oh, my God, this is beautiful. You are alive, whole, and loved. By saying yes to life, I joyfully celebrate God's greatest gift, life itself. On Wednesday night, I shared a story about John Lennon, and I want to share it now because it's very apropos. John Lennon was, I think, his marriage to his first wife was kind of on the rocks. It was over. And he was beginning his relationship with Yoko Ono, who was an artist and you know, did all kinds of weird stuff in art, not just paintings on a wall. And one of the art installations that John Lennon went to had a piece of hers. And what it was a ladder in the middle of the studio, right? And a tall ladder, and the ladder went up to the ceiling, and then hanging from the ceiling was a magnifying glass. And then on the other side of the magnifying glass was a piece of paper, a sign. So John Lennon said, well, let's go up, let's have a look. So he walked up to the top of the ladder, and he looked through the magnifying glass, and what it said on the other side was, yes! And he said afterwards in his memoir that if it had been any other word, if it had been no or get lost or whatever, that he probably wouldn't have had a relationship with Yoko Ono. But because it said yes, he knew that his consciousness of positivity, of possibility, aligned with her consciousness, and it was safe to pursue this relationship. See, powerful, isn't it? Because what are we expected to find up there? You know, you're walking up to you're looking through the magnifying glass at the sign. Put me on a highway. Show me a sign. What's it saying? This one said, yes. Full speed ahead, right? And there's power in that. When I choose to have my sign read yes, then I'm empowered in a way that is not possible otherwise. And guess what? The universe is always, without doubt, on every single occasion, saying to each of us, yes. So were you ready for this affirmation? Let's affirm it together because it has that great yes word in it. Let's affirm it out loud together, knowing it to be the truth, encouraging each other in this, okay? Together, the universe celebrates itself through me. I am its instrument of expression. It sings itself into my soul. You are alive, whole, and loved. By saying yes to life, I joyfully celebrate God's greatest gift, life itself. And that's the bottom line. We are alive, aren't we? So we have God's greatest gift already within us. This is the good news. God's unity's great second principle, God is within us as the Christ. And then we get the third principle. You know, there's five great unity principles. But the second and third are really powerful. God in us, and the third principle is our ability to bring that forth into actuality. The third principle is the law of mind action. Thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. In other words, when I change my thoughts and my thinking about something, instead of seeing no, I see yes, then I change my life, yeah? Now, so far, so good. What gets in the way to stop us from manifesting the yes consciousness in our lives? What gets in our way? Fear, that came up first last time. That must be a huge one. Yeah? It's fear, isn't it? Fear that I'm, like I said, not good enough. Fear that it's not going to work out. fear that, I'm jumping out of the frying pan into the fire. Fear that I'm separate in some way and I'm cut off from my good. All kinds of fears, all based on the idea that I'm separate from the universe, which of course is a lie. But ego convinces ourselves that it's not a lie, right? So fear, what else? Guilt, okay. Feel guilty about what? I don't feel guilty in unity. Go on, tell me more about guilt. So I'm not worthy, so I'm guilty to even claim my good, right? You know, I don't deserve that. Yeah, very real. Residual guilt, there we go, that keeps, nagging at us. Yes, can't get rid of it yet. Yes, very true. Yeah, there you go. And that's tough, isn't it? Because we love our family, and yet we've got to hold fast to our truth, right? And not get mown over by other people's ideas about what they think is right for us. Very true. Hold fast to our... We'll talk about this a little more later, because that's very... Very powerful teaching is how to stand up to that. I'm unworthy. Again, my ego is separate. I don't feel like I'm worthy to receive the good that is mine. Other people telling us what's right. We have to come to our own. Where is the Christ enshrined? Not in them, in you. It's in them too, for them. But it's in us, for us. So when we go to the Christ, we don't go to the Christ in somebody else. This is the danger of deifying other people. We go to the Christ in ourselves, right? We know the truth of Jesus, not because he told us so, but because it resonates with our own Christ truth in our own being. Get it? So it's not about the Bible told me so. No, the Bible didn't tell me anything. I resonate with the truths in the Bible because they resonate with the truths already within my heart. And that's why I resonate with the Bhagavad Gita and all other teachings, because it resonates with my own heart teachings. Any more culprits here? Because they're all saboteurs, folks. And here's the thing. There's a beautiful image in Hinduism called Shiva Nataraj. Shiva is the great god of transformation. And Shiva, Shiva Nataraj means Lord of the Dance. So he's Shiva dancing. And I think it was Robert Oppenheimer, Einstein said that this was the greatest symbolic representation of God that had ever been created. I think it was Albert Einstein that said that. The greatest representation of what God is actually doing. God is dancing, right? And what is God dancing on? God is dancing on a demon. And the dance could not be the dance unless God was dancing on the demon. The demon are all these things that seem to sabotage us, and they are not a problem. They are the dance floor. They are the dance floor on which we dance the joy of life. In fact, we could not dance unless we had intimate relations with the midgets, if you like, the ego midgets of our consciousness, right? So give up trying to get rid of them. Instead, understand them. So there's two ways to do that. You have to look fearlessly at them, yeah? You have to see them for what they are, and then you have to provide a divine antidote to them. So, for instance, I'm not good enough. I replace with, I am successful in all I do, right? Because that's the divine antidote to that particular demon or midget that wants to diminish me. We could do this with anything. So I would suggest that this is a wonderful thing. The next time you feel less than, thank you, God, because that's the raw material I'm going to use. Everything's budding right now, isn't it? And the bud is at the growth point of that plant and of that tree or whatever it is that's budding. It's right at the cutting edge. It's bursting forth from an internal protection out into the larger world, yeah? And I would suggest that that growth point is a scary place. It's a place there where there could be a problem, a fear, a denial. I don't want to grow. Imagine if all the buds said that. I don't want to go out there. It's scary out there. I'm going to stay in the tree. I'm going to stay cocooned in my safety. But it's at that very point of risk. It's that very point of seeming danger that yields the blossom, right? That yields the growth, that grows the tree of our lives. And so this is the place. So don't let your bud just stay there as a bud. We've got to let it express. Folks, there are six demons, or I like to call them ego midgets, within our consciousness that stop us from experiencing life to the full, life taken to the limit, right, in healthy ways. Here's the six ego midgets. And see if you've got any of these ego midgets hanging around in you right now. Because we're going to dance on our midgets in a minute, okay? First one is stingy. You know, wait a minute, we've heard of the seven dwarves, okay? But seven is a spiritual number. You know, the number of completion and wholeness. These midgets never get there. There's only six of them, okay? Like the beast, it's 666. It never gets to seven because it never gets to fullness. And neither do the ego midgets in us. Stingy's the first one. Then there's sloppy, snarky, stifled, scattered, and the best one of all, stupid. See, we've all got elements of these ego midgets in our consciousness, don't we? Stingy. I don't want to give. You know, I'm withholding. Have you ever done that? And giving can be on all levels, withholding love. There's a big thing going on in Unity right now, the larger Unity movement, the Unity Worldwide Ministries. They're talking about having an assessment of all the Unity churches. Right now, we give a love offering every year to support the larger movement, and they're not getting enough money. And so they're saying, well, we need an assessment, a sort of a TED tax from each ministry to give X amount of percent of what comes in up to the larger organization. My God, there's a whole resistance army going on, you know, withholding. So they're withholding their love offerings because they're afraid of the assessment. Well, what does that do to you when you withhold your good because you don't agree with what somebody else is doing? You don't bring in your own good. As long as you're being stingy, you're shut down, aren't you? Imagine if, take me to the road, show me the sign, and it says stingy. I am stingy. Don't you want to be that? I want to be stingy. Of course we don't. It diminishes us. Sloppy. Sloppy in the sense slapdash with my thoughts, words, and deeds. In other words, I'm not focusing. I'm not really paying attention. By the way, how many people would be comfortable with me coming to your home right now before you've had time to clean it up? You're okay with it? See, we're all in varying degrees of sloppy, though, aren't we? Let's be real here. Snarky, that's a big one. Snarky, critical. When are we critical? When we see somebody as, what, separate from ourselves, yes? I have a really hard time. I'm a quick-witted person, so I tend to come back with a quick reply to everything. And I think a slow, more measured person is probably better, but this doesn't work well on Facebook because, you know, I can't help but want to respond. Getting myself in a circle because what's quick-witted can easily slip into snarky. We don't want to go there. And it happens late at night, you know. Late night dialing, drunk dialing, whatever you call it. Don't do it. Snarky, stifled. You know, stifled. The song is brilliant because in the song, in the Fearless song by Pink Floyd, he's invited to climb up, and he climbs up above the tree line, above the clouds, and sees everything in a different way. And that's what happens when we come up higher, right, into our spiritual consciousness. What's the air like? You've all been to the mountain. What's it like up there? It's clear. It's cool. It's like crisp and clean, isn't it? It has a consciousness that's beautiful. And that's the consciousness that the Spirit gives us, you know, when we're not stifled with all the negative midget thoughts that go on down here. We're going to dance on our midgets. We don't want them to rule us. We want the Spirit to be dancing with joy. Scattered, you know, unfocused, so much going on. Easy to do that, isn't it? Wendy talked about the to-do list. How many people keep a to-do list that drives them crazy. You know, sometimes it will. Sometimes I have to throw my to-do list away because it's good if I don't take it too seriously, but if I have to follow it to the T, and being an OCD somewhat type person, like kind of, it's easy to get, you know, a little bit into it, a little bit too much. Yeah, exactly. And that doesn't help. It just makes you more scattered. And then finally, stupid. You know, we've all said stupid things that we later regretted. What did St. Paul say? Listen, the things I know to do, I don't do. The things I know not to do, that's what I do. Guess why? Because I'm stupid. We're not stupid. The spirit within us is not stupid, but we act stupid sometimes, right? The Buddhist teachings have six divine antidotes to these six midgets of stingy, sloppy, snarky, stifled, scattered, and stupid. And who are you today, by the way? Who are you going to claim to be? Any of these? None of the above. But the Buddhist system has something called the paramitas, the perfections, the completions. It's the hallmarks of the bodhisattva. It's the hallmarks of the enlightened being. It's the hallmark of that kind of consciousness that remembers the truth of its being, that remembers the Christ is within, the second unity principle, and is willing to, and it knows the power of changing thoughts and feelings is changing your life, right? So here's the antidotes. And you can find them in Buddhist manuals. There's six in the Theravada Buddhist tradition. For stingy, guess which one? Generosity. Yeah, generosity. The ability to give freely of one's goods, of one's emotions, of one's gifts, of one's money. But it's not just about money. It's about a magnanimous way of living your life, yeah? Generous-hearted. How does it feel to be generous? It feels good. It feels good to give it. In my life, it always feels good if I can be generous-hearted about something. Keeps the energy flowing. Generosity. When I think the word generosity, I have to do this. Yeah? Because it's like that's the natural thing to do. It's generous. It's giving. Whereas stingy is like this, isn't it? Generous. You could be too generous. That's why there's the antidote for stingy and the antidote for sloppy is discipline. Right? Because if you're too generous, it's foolhardy about it, you can give everything away, you know, without thinking about it. There has to be a discipline here, so we're not sloppy about it. We're not unfocused about it. We know that we have to have some kind of order and balance in our lives. That's the discipline here. So that's the second quality. Discipline provides clarity, folks. Am I disciplined in my exercise routine? Oh, my God. Do I need to be? Yes. Am I going to be? Yes, because guess what? The whole of the staff of our church have dedicated themselves to doing something healthy for Lent. We're calling it Lean Into Lent. Some of us are dieting. Some of us are doing exercises. Some of us are getting therapy of some kind. And we're going to share with the congregation our results. And we're going to invite you also to do something healthy for that period of time. So it starts on the 5th of March, countdown to discipline. Oh, Lord, here we go. But it's a good thing because I need that. You know, I need the support of others around me, and we all do, yes? Snarky, patience, forbearance, the ability to let go of having to be right, yeah? That's the divine antidote for that. It's a beautiful quality, I think, the forbearance, tolerance of others, allowing other people to have their own views, right? We can have differing views, not making one right and the other wrong. Good Lord, I wish we could have more of that in our political process right now. That ability to let two arguments sit together without too much judgment. And then stifled. When you're stifled, you're stuck, right? You don't have the energy to move forward, and that's the fourth great perfection, is the perfection of energy and passion, right? The effort needed. We have to be passionate about it, don't we? You know, that song was noisy, that Pink Floyd song. We may say, oh, my God, another noisy song, but there's going to be a lovely jazz piece in a minute, so hold on. But what was cool about the song was energy. Energy and power. I felt it, you know, and I wanted to be part of it. It resonated within me. So it's that energy, that passion. What are we passionate about? Remember, what's on your sign? I'm going to ask you at the end, what's on it? And then the fifth one, scattered. Well, the fifth antidote for that is meditation. In the Buddhist tradition, meditation is that beautiful gift to come back to center, isn't it? So we don't have to be scattered. It's a gift we need to give ourselves every single day, a moment of quiet meditation or prayer, right? To come back to that centered, beautiful place of possibility within us. Folks, when we can do all these five, we get the icing on the cake, which is number six, which moves us beyond stupid into wisdom. That's the sixth paramita. It's wisdom. I become wise when I am generous-hearted, disciplined, patient, energized, centered, and from all those things comes forth great wisdom. Yeah? So, I'm going to ask two things. I'm going to ask you what the six paramitas are in a little bit. Okay? So, let them percolate. But now I want to ask, what's on your sign? Because what's on your sign determines what you're going to receive this week, right? And I'm not asking you to tell me, because that would be ridiculous. It's what your considered view of that sign is. Because if it's speaking anything less than, see, if it's speaking from the midget point of view, we can transform it. We can change it. This is the power of the third principle. So, I'm not worthy? No, I am a rich child of a loving Father, Mother, God, and I dare to claim my good now, right? We can change any negative, limited, midget belief into a good one. And here's the other thing. We don't have to get rid of the midget. We just have to dance on it. See? We have to see it as raw material. It's that cutting edge to new transformative living, yeah? It's not a problem. It's an impetus to help me shift and rephrase and reimagine what's possible for my life. So what are the six perfections again that cancel out the midgets, that dance upon the midgets? Generosity, discipline, patience, energy and effort, passionate energy and effort, meditation, and finally the beautiful gift that comes, wisdom. So put me on a highway. Are we going to sing it? Put me on a highway. Show me a sign and take it to the limit one more time. Yes!
Thank you for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at www.unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We thank you for your contribution and affirm with you, divine love flowing through us blesses and multiplies all that we give and all that we receive.